You are welcome to our Wednesday evening service. We would like to pass our greetings. Personally, I would like to pass my greetings to those that are listening from Kenya, from Botswana, USA, UK, Cameroon, United Arab Emirates, Indonesia, Zimbabwe, Zambia, South Africa, the Netherlands, and not forgetting from Uganda. It's good to know that you are listening and you are appreciating what you are listening to, and I pray that you may continue to listen and even pass on to others. If you have liked the message, probably another person from another nation would also like to be blessed by what they are listening to or what you have shared with them. We are seeing more and more nations listening to this message, and it is quite a good message to serious children of God that would like to know their future, not only just to enjoy their present, but also to know their future, how their future is going to be, their hope, how their hope will be fulfilled. It's important to know the future. And many of us, like I've said it several times, many of us know that Christ will come back. And they just know that he will come back for us and take us to heaven. And we shall be there forever and ever and ever when this earth has been burnt up. And that is the limited knowledge that they have. They don't know anything more than that. And so it will be a surprise, a shock, when they don't see what they hoped to see transpire. But we have covered in great details, and we are still covering event by event, event by event, until as a child of God you will know your future, you will know what to strive for, you will know what to do. You will not be taken unawares. So this is very important. Our listeners, thank you for listening, and those that are contributing to our being, staying online, we welcome you and we really appreciate. In the last service, we were looking at these scriptures where we were saying that Christ will begin a process. Christ will begin a process that will change this burned, plague-ridden earth into the Garden of Eden. A very wonderful experience that this world is going to have when they see this burned, plague-ridden earth turned into the Garden of Eden. And we were turning to these scriptures before we ran out of time, Isaiah 65 and verse 17. Let's turn to Isaiah 65 and verse 17. He says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." Not that he's going to bring a brand new earth or a brand new heaven, but this earth, this old earth turned, this burned, plague-ridden earth turned into the Garden of Eden, renovated, if I can use that word, turned into the garden. It's like when you see a dilapidated building and you look at its site, the way it looks, the way the appearance is so ugly. But when somebody comes to remodel and remodels it and paints it and fixes things, puts the things in order, gives it a good paint, I mean, you cannot believe that that was that dilapidated building. It becomes brand new. It's not that that building, the old dilapidated building, was thrown away somewhere, but that dilapidated building was given a new look. Some things were put right, some new things fixed, and some good painting, and it was remodeled. And so that's what is going to happen. It's not because God is going to make a new earth fall from the heavens. No, it's because there is going to be a renovation. This earth is going to be turned into something wonderful. That's why he says, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, turning this earth that has been ruined, turning into something wonderful. Then in 2 Peter chapter 3, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. The same thing. We see it in the Old Testament, we are seeing it in the New Testament. We have already said that the Bible is one. All scriptures agree one. Like we were saying, not that there is going to be brought a brand new earth and a brand new heaven, but renovation will take place, recreating, making this earth look something good. Also in Revelation 21 and verse 1. Let's look at Revelation 21 and verse 1. Revelation 21 and verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So a new heaven and a new earth, Christ has turned that old earth into the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was a beautiful garden. One who desired to stay in, one who desired to live in. It was very, very beautiful. Then we go back to Isaiah 35. Isaiah chapter 35. Very interesting knowledge. Isaiah 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. You see right there, the desert to blossom as rose. So the blossoming in the desert is not some supernatural appearance of flowers growing and without growing in the sun without water. It's not some supernatural, that blossoming in the desert that we are talking about, that we are reading about in the Bible. It is not some supernatural appearance of flowers growing in the sand without water. Rather, it is a natural result of rivers, natural result of rivers beginning to flow in the desert. In other words, rivers will begin to flow in the desert. I think we have that song that reminds us, and the rivers will flow in the desert. There will be rivers flowing in the desert. If we can turn to Habakkuk, it will be very wonderful to see rivers flowing in the desert. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 9. Thy bow was made quite naked according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Selah. Stop and think about that. That was the word Selah means. Stop and think, meditate. Then the verse says, continue, thou didst cleave the earth with the rivers. Cleaved the earth with rivers, confirming that rivers will flow in the desert. And then going back to Isaiah 35, scripture upon scripture, line upon line, statements being made, not out of the blue, but backed up by scriptures. Isaiah 35 and verse 6, then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. Look at that. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Waters shall break out, and streams in the desert. Now, where do these streams come from? One may ask, where, how will it happen? Where do these streams come from? We are seeing rivers flowing in the desert. Water, where do these come from? Now, the most significant new river that will appear in the kingdom, the most significant new river that will appear in the kingdom will originate and flow southeast toward the sea. It will originate and flow southeast toward the Dead Sea. This will have effect throughout the Negev and Sinai desert. It will have an effect throughout the Negev and Sinai desert. So we see how things are going to transpire. And at the battle of Armageddon, like we have already said, Christ returns. And his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. We were showing you in the last lessons that when he comes, there will be a time when his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. And then he begins to descend. But let's turn to Zechariah. Our hands, we are going to keep them in the scriptures. Let's look at Zechariah here, chapter 14, verses 1-4. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and a half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. So the mount splits its mount of olives, splits one part moving north and the other part to the south. This will leave a valley running east to west, to leave a valley running east to west. A river shall run through this valley, Zechariah 14 and verse 8. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them towards the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. Right there. Actually, Zechariah prophesied two streams emerging from Jerusalem. Zechariah prophesied two streams running from Jerusalem. One runs towards the Mediterranean Sea, and the other towards the Dead Sea. One running towards the Mediterranean Sea, and the other towards the Dead Sea. And at this point, we are only interested in the latter stream. At the moment, we are only interested in the latter stream. The new stream originates not just in Jerusalem, but from the temple on Mount Moriah, And we have to turn here to Joel chapter 3. Let's look at Joel chapter 3. This is very, very interesting to see what is going to transpire. The desert running, having rivers. Joel chapter 3 and verse 18. Joel 3 and verse 18. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountain shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk. And all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord. Listen to that. And a fountain shall come forth out of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. So when we say that the new stream, this new stream originates not just in Jerusalem, but from the temple on Mount Moriah. And Joel proves that. So this valley is on the other side of the Dead Sea from Jerusalem. On the other side of the Dead Sea from Jerusalem. This amazing new river is described in detail by the prophet Ezekiel described in detail this new river. And many teachers have said that Ezekiel's vision was a type, and probably it was, perhaps it was. Some scholars have said that Ezekiel's vision was a type, and probably it is, but we must know, and we have learned, that every type in the Bible had or will have a literal fulfillment. Every type, if you are a Bible student, every type had, if it is, it was done already, every type had a literal fulfillment. If it is not yet fulfilled, every type will have a literal fulfillment. And his vision was very explicit. In other words, it was clearly and fully expressed. Clearly and fully expressed. Let's look at Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. So Ezekiel's vision shows him the temple in Jerusalem. It shows him the temple in Jerusalem. The waters originates from the threshold of the temple. The waters, right here it is confirmed by Ezekiel. The water originates from the threshold of the temple. The water is going to come from the temple, and then it will flow to the east. That water will flow to the east. Ezekiel then exits the temple through the north gate and goes to the eastern gate. Ezekiel then exits the temple through the north gate and goes to the eastern gate. There he sees where the water is flowing. He really saw where the water is flowing. And we have to read verse 2, Ezekiel 47 and verse 2. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate, by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. Explains it very, very clearly. So, 1,000 cubits downstream, the water is ankle deep. 1,000 cubits downstream, the water was ankle deep. In other words, it came as far as the ankle. That was the depth of the water. It was ankle deep, meaning the water came up to the ankle. Ezekiel still 47, like we said, Ezekiel explained very clearly and extensively. in verse 3, "And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles." Right there, it explained the waters was ankle deep. It came up to the ankles. Another 1,000 cubits downstream, the water is waist deep. IBID means same passage. So another 1,000 cubits downstream, the water is waist. At 4,000 cubits downstream, more than a mile from the eastern gate, the water is deep enough to swim in. It went on getting deeper and deeper. Verse 5. Even we can read verse 4. "He measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters were to the loins." Went on increasing. "Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in a river that could not be passed over." Right there, you could swim in that water. So the stream, trees will begin to grow along the river. This river, alongside, trees will begin to grow according to Ezekiel 47 and verse 7. "Now, when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other." Trees will begin to grow alongside the river. The stream flows through the new valley where the Mount of Olives had previously stood, winding its way to the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is called dead because it has an inlet but no outlet. While the Dead Sea is called Dead Sea is because it has an inlet but no outlet. So when the new stream originating from the temple, this stream that we are interested in, the new stream originating from the temple reaches the Dead Sea, the amount of water flowing into it will exceed the amount evaporating. It will exceed the amount of water evaporating. So interesting things are really going to happen. Then the sea will overflow its banks, sending one or more two streams into the surrounding desert. That's how things will happen. The sea will overflow its banks, sending one or two more streams into the surrounding desert. Back to Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah 35 and verse 6. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for the wilderness shall, for in the wilderness shall waters break out. Right there, proving. In the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. So, this increasing, the increasing inflow and the creation of one or more outlets will drastically reduce the sea's mineral content. The increasing inflow and the creation of one or more outlets will drastically reduce the sea's mineral content. The Dead Sea then will no longer be dead. Dead Sea will no longer be dead. Very interesting. It will be filled with fish. The sea that could not hold fish, it will now be filled with fish. Ezekiel, let's go to Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel chapter 47 and verse 9. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. Scriptures to prove that the Dead Sea will no longer be dead, it will be filled with the fish. The dry, barren deserts will be changed. These deserts that have been dry, barren, the dry, barren deserts will be changed into the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah, that will be wonderful. These dry, barren deserts will be changed into the Garden of Eden. Isaiah 35 and verse 1. Isaiah 35 and verse 1. It will be interesting to see this happen. Dry, barren desert turning into something wonderful. Isaiah 35 and verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice. How can the desert rejoice? It's because something that has never been will be. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. When the desert begin to blossom as the rose, there will be rejoicing. There will really be rejoicing. So, this 1,000-year reign of Christ will be inaugurated with a tremendous feast called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. There are two suppers, at least two suppers, leaving the Lord's Supper. There are other two suppers that are mentioned in the scriptures. There is the Great Supper of God. The Great Supper of God. I don't think any person would like to partake of that supper or to be one of the guests, because there the fowls of the air will come and feast on human flesh. The Great Supper of the Great God. It's not a good supper. But then there is the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. You wouldn't like to miss the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. That will be a wonderful supper that you would desire. So let's get this straight, that the 1,000-year reign of Christ will be inaugurated with a tremendous feast, and that feast is called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. And right here in Revelation 19, let's turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. He says, this is not just a story. This is going to come to pass. These are true sayings of the Lord. Is something that is going to take place. Jesus promised that he would sup with the overcomers. If we go to Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3, Jesus promised that he would sup with the overcomers. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. I will sup with him and him with me. This may mean many things, but it may refer to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This feast is a tremendous celebration for Christ and his bride. A very tremendous celebration, very good celebration, wonderful celebration, a celebration of victory. According to the Jewish custom, a feast is held after the bride and bridegroom are married. Pardon me. When the bride and bridegroom are married, according to the Jewish custom, there was a feast held. And I think we also do it. There is always a celebration feast after the bride and bridegroom have been declared husband and wife. There is a reception that we normally have and we enjoy. The feast will be held shortly after the return of the Lord. Do we see how events are multiplying? at the return of the Lord, it is not just one big event, but it is full of several events. This will take place, the other will take place. And we've been showing and going through one after the other. And that's why I say it's good to take notes. And after, when we are through with the lesson, not today, of course, but when we are through with the lesson, then you, in your notebooks, you prepare. This will take place. Then this will be next, followed by this, followed by the other, followed by this, so that you can understand what is going to transpire. So this feast will be held shortly after the return of the Lord. It will be the world's premier gala event. It will be the world's premier gala event. Isaiah 25 and verse 6. Isaiah 25 and verse 6. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all the people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things, full of marrow, of wines on the lees, well refined. My God, what a wonderful feast. Wouldn't you like to be there? Wouldn't you like to be one of the guests? Now, the guests invited to this wedding, feast, include the 144,000 Jews who have escaped the Great Tribulation. There will be 144,000 Jews that are going to escape the Great Tribulation. And also, this feast, the guests invited will include the remnant of the church, the Gentile church. It will also include the remnant of the church. And I would like you to recall that this remnant of the church hid in the wilderness during the seven last plagues of the wrath of God. Those last 3.5 years, when the seven last plagues of the wrath of God were being poured upon the population. I think let's turn to Revelation 12. Revelation 12, very, very interesting here, verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, that's the remnant of the church, after the bride is caught away, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And in our earlier lessons, those days, 3.5 years, the last 3.5 years after the bride of Christ is caught away. Then still Revelation 12, verses 14 through 17. And to the woman were given two wings of great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. If you don't know what all that means, you just refer to our earlier lessons, and we explained how the earth helped the woman, the church. Verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of our seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. As the testimony of Jesus Christ. So, the remnant of the church hides in the rocks for 3.5 years. That's when the great tribulation is taking place. Going to back to Isaiah, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33, verses 16 and 17. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. All right. So, how will those hiding in the rocks see the king in his beauty? How will those hiding in the rocks see the king in his beauty? That might be a question one can ask or could be in their mind. This is because angels shall transport these guests to the wedding festival. My God, what a transport. What a means of transport for the angels. Angels. This is because angels shall transport the guests to the wedding festival. That will be great. that would be wonderful. Wouldn't you like to be carried by an angel to the wedding festival? Wouldn't you like? That would be wonderful. Great things are ahead of us as children of God. Great things. In Matthew 24, if we can turn to Matthew 24 and the verse we want is 31. And what is he going to do? And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Like I've been saying, keep saying, we don't just make statements. The statements that are being made here are backed up by scriptures. So when we say angels shall transport these guests to this wedding festival, it is confirmed by scripture. It's not just narrating a story or imagination. It's confirmed. And if we believe that the word of God is true, then we should know that this is going to happen. So, air transportation by the hand of angels has already been reserved for the honored guests of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Air transportation. My God. By the hand of angels, it has already been reserved for these honored guests of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And interestingly, admittance to the marriage supper of the Lamb will be by invitation only. There will be no gate crushers. People who go to any occasion or any ceremony without invitation, that they are referred to as gate crushers. There will be no gate crushers. You cannot just hang around that probably Christ will see me and say, hey, come up or sympathize. No. Admittance to the marriage supper of the Lamb will be by invitation only. We've missed so many occasions on this earth, so many ceremonies, so many workshops, so many things. And they will tell you, invitation, it is only for those that are invited. Attendance is only by invite. My God, you are excluded. You can't gate crush. And so, admittance to the marriage supper of the Lamb, you cannot sneak in. You cannot dodge around and try to hang around and probably try to make it. No. Unless you have been invited, you will not be there. Matthew 22. You will not be there. That's why you will not say, hey, Christ, I did this. Let me in. There will be no begging and making noise and falling on your stomach and crying. Have mercy. Let me come in. Even if I sit at the back, please let me in. That will not work. Matthew 22, verses 11 to 13. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he says unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Terrible. He had no answer. It was a fact. He didn't have a wedding garment. He's being asked. He had no word to answer. And then he said the king, verse 13, to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into everlasting darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. My God. Many will seek admittance, as the nature of man is. Many will seek admittance, but will find out too late that they missed out. They will find out too late that they missed out. Many will try to come in, but they will find out it is too late. In Matthew 25:10-12. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, very powerful phrase to name, they that were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. They missed out. The door was shut. It's like the door of a plane. Those of you that have flown, once the door is shut, once the door of the plane is shut, it doesn't matter whether you are a king, whether you are a president, whomsoever you are, very important person, once they close the door of the plane, they never open. You can't knock, you can't shout, you can't do what? Once it is closed, it is never opened. Afterward, came also the other virgins saying, "Lord, open it to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." Open, open. That's why it is important to live for God and live right. Because he says, "I don't know you." That is a sad statement to hear. I don't know you. I don't know you. So we need the wedding garment, fine linen, clean and white. Revelation 19:8. Revelation 19 and verse 8. We need a wedding garment. In Revelation 19 and verse 8, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white." What does that mean? For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Fine linen is the righteousness of saints. That righteousness, we did not get it by ourselves. There is imputed righteousness, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Many times we have referred to that garment. He didn't have the garment, never had the baptism of the Holy Ghost on top of other things. Baptism of the Holy Ghost is important. So this will be a very, very wonderful festival, and you can't get crushed. It will be by invitation only, and you can't sneak in, you can't knock. Once the door is shut, it is shut, and you must have what is required. Every child of God should desire to attend the marriage supper of the Lamb, rather than the great supper of the great God. It's bad, but the marriage supper of the Lamb is wonderful. And I pray that every one of us will have that desire. Keep listening. Our time is up. Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you.